up, everybody? It's your boy, Zach.
It's Josh. Zach, do you enjoy video games, drinking, and attempting to solve the world's problems through ridiculous schemes?
Yeah.
Do you think others would enjoy that?
I mean, I really hope so.
So do I. So I think you all should come spend some time with us, the Midwest Meltdown. This show was created by these two fine gentlemen here, myself and Zach, when we spent the last 14 years telling each other funny stories, talking about video games, and literally anything else that comes to mind. We wanted to turn our passion for gaming into something that we could share with everyone. So again, follow us, the Midwest Meltdown, anywhere you can find your podcasts. That's Spotify, Apple Music, Podbean, Google Pods. Check us out. We'd be happy to have you.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing today? My name is Michael Rocco.
My name is Raf Stitt.
And who are we, Raf?
We are the host of Straight to DVD.
We are a film review Joker memeing podcast. That's who we are.
Hell yeah, that's what we do.
This is who we are. This is what we do. Come listen to us. You can find us on Instagram at Straight to DVD Pod. That's the number two. You can also find us on Apple Music and Spotify. Where else can they find us, Raf?
They can find us wherever they find podcasts, wherever you listen, whether it's, like you said, Apple, Spotify, maybe Google Play.
Twitter?
They can find us on Twitter. Same handle at Straight to DVD Pod. Fantastic. You can follow the two of us on Instagram. Michael, what's your handle?
At @Michael_Rocco_
At Raf Stitt, all one word. We hope you come join us for some movie chatter, some banter, hopefully some laughs.
Hopefully.
Yeah. That's about it.
That's it. There's nothing else for us to tell you.
That's all we've got. So we hope to see y'all soon.
Check us out. Goodbye.
Hello and welcome to another episode of My Drunk Movie Theater. I'm Kyle Sutton.
I'm Trisha Campbell.
And we're back. Hopefully we're going to be on a regular recording schedule. We've got, obviously we're doing this episode now. Hopefully next week we've got the next one worked out for our schedule. We're hoping that maybe we can kind of get something ironed out, because this show basically depends on us recording it, depends on when we're working, either together or separately, or when we're off together separately.
Yeah. Generally, I'm on the same schedule every week, but then people ask for days off.
Yeah, and that really, really.
And Boss Man keeps saying he wants to get me on inventory to get back in the swing. So we'll see if that happens.
Yeah. Well, and I'm supposed to also be learning inventory because I had requested it too. So it's going to be probably alternating like Thursdays whenever we do it. So we'll see what happens. Yay! Anyway. So not a whole lot's happened since we all got together and you guys listened in. We had that big for 100th episode, and that's all great and good. And you should definitely go check it out. But we're back to our regularly scheduled programming this week. So we got a few things to talk about. First and foremost, we had something that rarely ever happened back in the day, but now it feels like it's happened once a year since I came back to working at the theater. Snow day! We never have snow days. We're kind of like the mail. We run 365, like holidays included. So it takes a certain kind of anomaly to make us close, either early or before we even open. In this case, it was a winter storm warning. True
snow day, because there wasn't really ice that I noticed.
No. There was just
so much snow overnight that it just there was no hope of the roads being anywhere half decent.
Right. So we sat there. That was on Tuesday night. We closed down and I said we shouldn't be open.
I was like, we were talking as early as Monday.
Yeah.
About, because it's not like we didn't know the storm was coming.
Right.
So I was having a conversation with Megan and our boss on Monday about, because I was off that Tuesday. I lucked out. Usually I'm off Thursday, Friday, but that week leading up to it, because of requests off, I think, was my own request off that threw it off. I think, I don't remember, someone's request off threw off the normal schedule. And so I had a Tuesday, Thursday off instead of a Friday, Thursday, because our week started on Friday. Mm-hmm. But then the next week I was back to my regular schedule. So I had Tuesday, worked Wednesday, had Thursday, Friday off.
Yeah.
That Wednesday was the snow day. Yes. So I ended up with 4 days off in a row and it was fantastic.
Yes.
But on Monday we were talking because I think Megan was closing alone that Tuesday night before the storm, if I remember right. And so I was like, okay, look, I don't know if we'll close, but I feel like you should close as if we are going to be closed on Wednesday. It's like, we had this whole conversation about what she should turn off, what she should leave on, like how to go about this. We were discussing, you know, closing shows so that people can't buy tickets. We don't have to deal with that if we close, like all of that. We were having that conversation Monday. So that was a solid 48 hours. Well, 24 hours before the storm started. Yeah. Because it started Tuesday night.
Yeah. Tuesday night, I'm sitting there going, I should just close everything. I should just close all the shows and just say, fuck it. And then open them in the morning. But I'm like, no, yeah. we'll definitely get in trouble for that. But I'm like, yeah, no. I'm just
gonna we debated closing Wednesday shows on Monday.
Yeah.
But in the end, we were like, nah, like we'll get in trouble for that.
Yeah.
Like we can get away with it Tuesday night probably, but
right.
Not Monday. So, that's too early.
Yeah. So I left it alone Tuesday night after really thinking about it going, the worst they can do, like, well, you're going to be closed anyway, but don't do it again. Like slap on the wrist kind of thing. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to leave it be. Cause I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to come in. Cause that's the thing. And I talked to our boss about this and I said, if it happens and it's as bad as they say it's going to be, which it was for our area, we'll get to that. I'll be the only one who can really get in easily because pickup truck, like four-wheel drive, like I can get through the snow. Now, if there's ice, I'm fucked one way or the other. It doesn't matter, but I can get there and I can get back home.
Yeah.
So I am on my way in on Wednesday morning. And of course, it is still snowing its ass off. The main drags, the one that goes by your apartment is just dog shit to drive on. The one that goes to the theater, dog shit to drive on. And I'm sitting there plugging along in my pickup. And this is how I know it's bad. Because remember, I got four-wheel drive. It doesn't matter if shit gets slick. People have driven on our street by the theater enough that there's an intersection there by the police station and one of the high schools by our street or by our theater.
Mm-hmm. Like two blocks away-ish.
Yeah, roughly. So as I pull up to the stoplight, it goes red. I tap the brake. Goes sliding. And I'm going, well, this is fun. Luckily, there's a cop over coming across from the police station and going down that road. So I'm like, well, if I hit anybody, it'll be the cop. And so that would just be my luck. And if I don't hit anybody, the cop's there to help me.
It'd be even better if it was one of our usual off duties.
That's what I was sitting there thinking, like,
oh no, hey, I know you. You know, I wouldn't do it over.
Yeah, you know what? You saw me. I wasn't speeding. I was going slow. Anyway, I wound up sliding and skidding, and I wind up just so I do what I always do. I always turn towards the curb. That way, if I'm going to hit anything, it's going to be the curb. That'll help stop me. I don't hit anybody else. And I've got nothing but clearance. So I pull over. I wind up in the turn lane right there, like perfectly stopped at the stoplight, just in the wrong lane over that I need to be in to get to the anyway. So then I leave there. I pull into work, and that's when our boss is calling me. And I go, hey, boss, what's going on? He goes, hey, because I've been texting him all morning. I was like, hey, have you heard anything? And he goes, no, I hadn't heard anything, but I'll be getting ready to leave here. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I think he told me that he got notified. He was literally in his car, like heading out, like maybe a block or two away from,
ready to
from
get
his house.
Pile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had made it very far.
Yeah. So then he calls me and he goes, hey, we are closed. And I'm like, I'm walking into the building right now. Like, he goes, okay.
Let me go make sure everything's okay.
He goes, well, while you're in there, he goes, I just got my butt chewed by the district manager because all the shows were closed for Wednesday. And I go, what? And I'm going, well, I didn't close them, but I'm sitting there thinking to myself, that's a hell of a coincidence though at that point, right? So I'm going, I didn't do it. I thought about doing it, but I didn't do it. So I go in And so I'm like, I'm on the phone with him and I'm like, okay, I'll take a look and see, because none of our show times are posted on the website. And then all the ones for the next day, which you had opened those show times, the ones for the next day were missing except for like the two premieres that we had.
Yeah, the two I think the two that were on the website we had put in were advance tickets. So like we had put those in like a couple weeks in advance.
So anyway, I get into our system to actually pull up our show times, and sure enough, everything's open on our end. So our boss got
because you told me about Thursday, and I was like, well, that's my bad, I guess. Like I could have sworn I opened it, but I guess I didn't. Like shit happens. I'm sorry. So when you said they were open, I was just like, I knew I did it.
Right. I'm like, okay, well, I know I didn't do it. So, but I'm like on the phone with the boss. I'm like, hey. Yeah, I'm looking at them. They're open. Like nothing's changed. Like that has to be a glitch with the website then.
Like it's screw up this time.
Yeah, not us. But yeah. So the boss goes, okay, can you email the DM that with screenshots of their pictures of the screen? I'm like, yes, I can. Like, here you go. Weirdest damn thing. But either way, it was kind of like didn't do it, but it felt like I willed it into existence at that point. I'm like, I should have done it. And like, yeah, this is stupid. Like, we're gonna have all these dumbasses. I'm sitting there cussing and thinking about all the idiots that are gonna be like, well, I got into work just fine as I'm the only person working the stand in the morning dealing with everybody's bullshit. So it all worked out. So we got a day off. I got to go home, snuggle with my daughter, watch TV, and all that, which is great because I recently had LASIK eye surgery. And so driving in the snow, in the cold, with only one good eye at this point, and I'll have to get in, that's a whole other ordeal. Both eyes are good now, but I'm basically one-eyed and have an eye patch on because they had to correct a flap on the right eye. I'm going around looking like a fucking pirate in the snow. Like, I would not have been out of place in the Star Wars universe on Hoth trying to smuggle spice out there. Dealing with Wampa shit and Tauntauns. So I'm like, this is not fun. So I'm like, I'm at home. I'm putting eye drops in. I'm going to nap. Like, that's it. So I got through our one snow day. So it was nice. But like I said, this is now the third time that's happened since I've come back.
It seems like you said, it seems like it's roughly once a year anymore.
So
like there was a point where they were always like, no. Do it anyway. You can make it. Figure it out. Yeah. And we'd be sitting there the whole time just like, why? Why are we here? Why are we here? Why are we here?
Yeah.
Like everyone's slipping and sliding. It's taking everyone an hour to get 2 miles to work. Like there's like a handful of dude bros and jacked up trucks here that are like, I don't understand why no one's here. The roads aren't that bad. Like that's all we get coming in and they're all annoying and shit. Mm-hmm. None of us want to be here.
Right.
We're dreading going back home because we know it's going to take us another hour to get home after we, you know, spend a half an hour clearing off our cars from all the snow that's continuing to fall. Like, but yeah, lately it seems like they give in a little easier. But this was one of those days. Like, there's been some days that we're like, it'd be nice if we closed, but we know it's not that bad. This was one that we're like, it's that bad.
Yeah.
Someone's going to get killed trying to get in.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
A couple of years ago, there was an absolute blizzard that moved in. It was on a Sunday, and I remember that because it was me and one of the other managers, and we wound up closing the building at like 2 o'clock for any other shows.
I remember a day that literally on the news that morning, a bus had slid off the road and flipped over.
Yeah.
And we still opened, and we were sitting there like, why?
Yeah.
A bus flipped over. Or no, it was a fire truck. That's what I'm thinking of. There was literally a fire truck that had slid off the road.
Yeah.
And we're like, and literally the news was telling everybody that, and like, please stay home. And we've opened. And even worse, there was people coming in. Mm-hmm. And they were coming in like, oh man, did you hear about that fire truck? So you know that a fire truck slid off the road and you still decided to get out to come watch a movie?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah, no entertainment is worth risking your life for. Mm-mm. Period. It's just not.
No job is worth risking your life for either.
No. So which made me chuckle. So I'm going to give away a little company secret here. I'm not giving away any details, but it made me chuckle. So we have, like every corporation, we have a Teams thing where they post notices and whatnot. And one of the people, one of our higher ups, had posted one. And I'm not going to get into the details of it, but it was basically the very old man. We had to walk up.
Back in my day.
Back in my day, we had to walk uphill both ways in the snow.
Back in my day, we did nothing stopped the movies.
Yeah.
And start bragging about people that had slept at the theater overnight before the night before a storm to make sure the theater opened.
Right.
And I'm like, no.
I'm sitting there going, this ain't it, dude. This ain't it. And I'm like, I get it. Like,
he tried to phrase it as if he was just like giving props to those people, but it felt very much like a dig at those of us who closed, because not every theater in the company closed.
No,
that day, because we were at the edge of this line of storm, the winter storm that stretched from like Mexico to Maine. Like, it was insane.
Yeah,
but we were right on the edge of kind of the system. So to the southeast of us, they got like a foot of snow, and to like the northwest of us, they we got what, 4 inches? 3-4 inches?
Something like that, yeah.
Somewhere around there. But like, to the northwest of us, they got less than that. They got some freezing rain overnight, and then they got like a dusting, if I remember right.
A little sleet or something like that.
Yeah. So like, it was basically, it sounds like it was mostly the south part of the metro.
Yeah.
The theaters closed, but a lot of the ones to the north stayed open because it wasn't as bad. So it very much, that whole post felt like a dig at those of us that closed, masking, trying to pretend like it's just giving people props kind of post.
Yeah.
But I was like, nah,
this ain't it. Now, follow.
You don't pay me to sleep in the theater to make sure it opens on a dangerous day. No.
So, there was a follow-up to that. So every week we have these calls. We're not always on them, but it's usually like owner of the company down to the DMs, and the DMs pass that information on to us. Mm-hmm. And we always get the cliff notes of that call. And so,
yeah, like they had their own call, and then we have a call. The theaters have a call with their DMs, and the DM kind of relays the information.
So in the cliff notes of that one, somebody had said, you know, props to those that were able to open. The ones that weren't able to open, we understand, and your safety comes first. And I'm going,
thank you.
Thank you. Like, I don't know that I believe you at this point after the other guy, but like, thank you, you know. So yeah, I'm just sitting there, like when I read that, I just immediately went, well, why don't you come out here and try to open this weather, like, and tell us how you do. Like,
you're not even in the metro. Like, you pull up in another part of the state. Like, why are you commenting on what's going on here when you're not here to see what the weather's like and what the roads are like?
Yeah. So yeah, it was one of those, I looked at it, I went, wow. Wow, dude, really? You gonna back in my day our asses over the weather, man? Yeah. Oh well, it is what it is. We got a snow day out of it. It's all good now. So anyway, I do have another story though, and this one actually pertains to something that happened on my watch. So there's one night, this is a couple weeks ago now, I'm working, we're closing up shop. And we're Megan and I are doing the count. We're getting everything ready to close for the night. Get a knock on our office door. Go check it. It's one of the staffers. And they're saying, hey, there's somebody out here. He says he got hurt earlier and wanted to talk to a manager about it. I'm like, oh, okay. And so I sit down and I talk to the guy and I take a report. And I'm like, yeah, let me get this filled out and sent off to corporate. And that way, if there's any issues, you know, we can go from there. Apparently he had walked into one of our auditoriums after the trailers had started. Couldn't give me like exact times, just the showtime that he was in and what row he was sitting in. And he says basically that he walked in and he missed the step because it's like one step down to the very bottom row.
Which I will say, there has been multiple people that have missed that step, which sounds bad, but the step is marked.
Yeah.
Like there is a strip with a white line on it. That's right there that denotes every time there's a step down outside of like a staircase. Like every theater has that, but for some reason there's something about this theater that people just miss it.
Yeah.
And then they try to get mad at us. And I'm like, it's marked. It's not our fault that you missed it.
Right.
I'm sorry. Plus, there's also lights, running lights.
Yep.
Along the wall there. So like it's lit. It's white against black. Like I don't know what more you want from us. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Anyway. Anyway. So yeah. So I took his report and I said, yeah, let me send this off and we'll go from there. So we did that. Nothing came of it. And when I do these reports, they always want us to get pictures of mm-hmm. where everything happened at, so that way they can send it off to the insurance company and do all that. Apparently, this dude decided to get a lawyer involved, because what had happened was after he fell, he'd driven home. He sat through his entire movie, driven home, and then realized that, oh, yeah, my knee is hurting. Like, I'm having a hard time bending it. I'm going, okay, well, like, you know, that does happen, so... Anyway, because he decided to get a lawyer involved, they went through and processed the claim. We got word this week that the lawyer dropped him because the pictures clearly indicated that everything that you said, that there are lights there, that there's marking on mm-hmm. that step to indicate that it's there, that there's no reason he should have missed.
Because you took pictures mm-hmm. in the dark. Like, it's not like you went in when it was fully lit. Like, you went in. I remember seeing those pictures.
Yeah.
Didn't you take it at, like, trailer level?
Yes.
Which is when he said he went in, wasn't it?
Yep.
Like,
so
we took an exact lighting that he would have seen.
Yeah.
And if it shows up in the picture, you can see it in person.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the dark.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so not just was the claim dismissed, the lawyer, because I remember reading the email, the lawyer said, I have dropped this person as a client. We're done here.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Makes me wonder what he told the lawyer.
Right. That's what I'd like.
Like, I feel like he lied to the lawyer to try to make it sound better, thinking he could get some money out of us.
Right.
And so the lawyer was like, oh, yeah, we'll go. And then he sees the picture and goes, nope, we're going to lose this.
Yeah. So that brings me to my thing with this, though, is, look, if you haven't, and I'm going to tell you guys this is my piece of advice to you from somebody who works at this level. If you are at a place and you have an incident where you hurt yourself, report it immediately. Don't wait several hours after the incident to come back and report it, because this is what exactly could happen. Is I'm gonna sit there like, I'm as soon as he walked away, I just went, he's gonna try and get money out of the company for this. Like, that's why he came back. Like, he was walking fairly normally. Like, I'm going, there's no way. There, I mean, if you did trip on that step, I don't know what to tell you, but it is clearly marked. So, and I'm not saying that to be like, well, it's his own damn fault. It could very well be he just really missed it. But let us know. Like, we can't, yeah. we can't really do anything that far after the fact. Like, if you'd at least let us know when it happened and you're still sitting there, I'm like, you know, is there anything you'd like us to do? Like, you know,
yeah.
At that point, if you want to ask us to call for an ambulance or whatever.
Even if you just want like with some ice to put on your knee. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, so yeah, so that's pretty much how that went. And, you know, I don't want anybody getting hurt at our theaters. That's not what it's all about. But if it does happen anywhere you go, let them know immediately, so that way, yeah. if you do have a claim and that does need to be paid out, the company can make it right with you however they need to with their insurance or whatever. Do it immediately, so that way I'm already not suspicious of you for coming back several hours later. You know, so because at that point there are no other witnesses. He didn't bring anybody back with him to say anything. Like, that was what was weird about the whole thing to me. Like, you know, and he didn't do it while there were people around that could vouch for him and say, yeah, he fell, he did, yeah. XYZ. So I'm not a lawyer, though, so don't take this as legal advice. Just be honest is what I'm going to tell you. Just be honest.
And I will say, this step down is not like a full like stair tread step down.
It's a half step.
It's like a half step. So like, if anything, maybe come down hard. There's I feel like there, I can think of one person that like full on tripped and fell on their ass, and they were mostly like, it was my own fault, I wasn't paying attention, like, I'm embarrassed. And they didn't even really, it didn't go anywhere. Cause again, the step is clearly marked. People are just oblivious.
Yeah.
Because they're not paying attention to what they're doing. But yeah, I was like, nope, he's trying to get a payday. And his lawyer realized he's a dumbass and lied to him. So bye-bye.
Yeah. So anyway, well, do you have any stories from the theater the past couple weeks? Everything kosher?
Just mouthy kids as usual.
Oh, they're the worst.
They're caught a bunch of kids in our play theater that we hadn't sold to.
Yeah.
So we had a group that kept hanging out kind of in the hallways. And they weren't being particularly loud, so we were just kind of keeping half an eye on them and not really worrying about it until someone came out of a theater right by them and complained that there was kids coming in and out a lot. So gave her some passes. She was nice about it. Kept an eye on them. Well, they moved from one side to the other. And our floor crew told us that they had checked their tickets at one point and they did have tickets to theater 10, but they moved to the other side. And so we were like, well, the movie's almost over. They're probably waiting for rides. Like, we have tables over there. They like people like to sit at, cause it's right next to an outlet. So people like to plug their phone in, whatever. So it's kind of keeping an eye. And like every now and then I'd look up to see some of them go around the corner. And before I could move to go see what was going on, they reappear and come back. So eventually one of our frontliners said that he needed to go to the bathroom. So I was like, hey, instead of going to the one right there in the lobby, go down to that far ones. Cause a couple of those kids just disappeared around the corner again. Make sure they're not up at something. And he was like, oh, okay. So he goes to the bathroom, he comes back and he's like, I didn't notice anything. They weren't in the bathroom. I didn't see anything, but I do think I heard them in three. I was like, oh, huh. So I look on the computer. Sure enough, that movie's in trailers. And it's the last round of the night, so it's a kids movie. Like, no one goes to see kids, hardly anyone I should say goes to see kids movies at 9:30 at night. So I look and I see no tickets sold to it. So I was like, oh, okay. So I walk down there and I walk in, and sure enough, there's about five of them sitting in the handicap row just chatting. And I was like, all y'all get to leave now. And they're like, what? I was like, you are not supposed to be here. You do not have tickets to this theater. I've had complaints about you guys being disruptive. You get to leave now. And so they're all kind of look all confused, but they start filing out. Two of the kids dart down to the men's bathroom, like, you know, I'm like, I'm going to ignore them. So I stand at the top of the hallway, wait for them to come out. And they kind of try to congregate by the tables again. I was like, no, if you need to wait for a ride, you can wait by the front doors. Then this kid goes, well, what's the front doors? The front doors, the doors in the front of the building that you came in. If you're waiting for a ride, go up there. I had to say it about three times before most of the group finally start going. Mm-hmm. But this kid kept me mouthy, kept turning around and saying stuff. Well, why? I said, you were not where you're supposed to be. If I complain you're disruptive, you get to leave now. Bye. Go. Leave. Like, he keeps turning around. And finally, at one point, we get to the lobby. I'm getting more and more angry the more he talks and the more he keeps questioning. And he turns around and goes, well, why are you so hostile? And I just go, leave. His own group is turning around going, dude, shut up. Get up here. Like, his own group is telling him to shut up.
Yeah.
That's when out of the corner of my eye, I see our off-duty officer walking over. Apparently Megan had heard me yell at him and was like, I think she needs you. She was like, you kind of scared me a little bit when you yelled like that. Like, you don't do that. Like, yeah, the kid kept mouthing off to me after I caught him at a theater he wasn't supposed to be in. Like,
yeah.
What do you mean, why am I hostile? So about half the group ended up sitting up there for another freaking hour waiting on their ride. Luckily, the cop we had gave no fucks about these kids, and so kept going up and checking, making sure they didn't do anything they weren't supposed to. But yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you so hostile? Because I've asked you to leave. And that's the cop came over going, have you been asked to leave? Yeah. Then you need to leave. Like, yeah. It's amazing how as soon as the cop shows up, suddenly they're not as mouthy as they were.
Yeah, no, the attitude changes as soon as a badge and a gun's involved. It's weird. Like,
because all of a sudden he stopped mouthing off and he went up front like he was supposed to.
Yep. So
we've told our off duties, I was like, look, you're here as deterrent most of the time. I get, like, most of them aren't upset that they get bored. In fact, they like, you know, getting paid to be bored. We're like, dude, you have in your car, because they always park their cruiser out front. like having your car out front and you sitting in the lobby, it reduces the bullshit we have to put up with by a lot.
Yeah.
Just seeing you here makes a lot of them, you know, step in line. And they're like, yeah, well, that's what we're here for.
Yep. I actually had a customer thank us for having cops on duty one weekend. And I'm like, yeah, no, we're happy to have them back too, because we're tired of the bullshit. So I don't know. So, all right. Well, no other stories then?
It's the only one I can think of.
Gotcha. All right. Well, then I guess it's time to move on to movie news. So this story that we're getting into, I've now seen several headlines for it, and they have all made me laugh, but we're just going to get into the bare bones of it. Our arch nemesis in the ticket buying world, MoviePass, who died an untimely and tragic death a couple of years ago, is much like every horror slasher back for one last scare. MoviePass is coming back. I sent you the link to that story and you just immediately went, why? Just why? Hold on, let me find
it. I know I sent you a GIF in response, but I don't remember what
GIF it was. A very angry GIF. It was the little girl or boy or whatever. Just
oh yeah, with the breath.
Yeah, yeah. So
from, what is that from? That's from Mrs. Doubtfire, isn't it?
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Anyway. So this is coming from Collider. MoviePass, set to relaunch in summer 2022, will feature tradable credits and rewards for watching ads. So it shut down in 2019, so just before COVID hit. So if it hadn't died before the pandemic, I'm sure it would have died certainly afterwards. So Stacy Spikes, the founder of MoviePass, has brought it back to life and will be without Helios and Matheson Analytics, the firm that ousted him and burnt the startup to the ground. So, quote, "We want to rebuild MoviePass as a company that's built by its fan base," Spike said during his presentation at New York City's Lincoln Center, claiming the reinvented service will launch as a cooperative. Spikes didn't share too much on how the service would operate, though, only that there would be tiered pricing plans and virtual tradable currency that rolls over from month to month. Notably, the service will now allow users to bring friends and family along with their credits, an improvement from the former system's card that only worked for cardholders. Spikes didn't reveal pricing yet, though. So there will be a set number of credits that you have to have in order to watch a movie. There'll be peak pricing, all that.
I think we've talked about it before, but MoviePass is older than you think it is.
Yes.
So before the spike, when everybody heard about it and everyone was getting it, it did exist before then. It was very niche and it was kind of expensive, so it wasn't worth it to the average moviegoer. Because like I remember we had one dude that would come in with it, and I don't know how many times I'd get called up to box office because people were confused by it because they didn't recognize it. It didn't look like, I mean, it looked like a credit card, but it didn't work. It wasn't quite that. They'd get confused and I'd be like, no, it's okay. So like it used to be, I think the guy said it was like 25 or 30 bucks a month.
Yeah.
And so you had to watch like three or four movies a month to make it worth it. And a lot of people don't come that often.
No.
But this dude said he usually goes about once a week. So for him, it was worth it.
Right.
And basically like it works pretty similarly. Like you would check in and then you would act like, I don't think you had to check into a specific movie. I think you just had to be in range of a theater. You would check in and you had a certain amount of time to go in and buy your ticket. It would basically activate the card for like a small span of time that you could then use to purchase your ticket.
Yes.
And like I said, there was one dude that came in maybe once a week that had this and that was it. Like, and I didn't ever see ads on it. That was the only reason I knew it existed, was because it's one dude.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they dropped the price. And I remember being like, that's not sustainable.
No.
Because they still have to pay us full price for the ticket.
Yes. Well, so
and then it just spiraled out of control, which everybody knows about and we've talked about a lot.
Yeah. So that was the thing about the headline that I saw. So Colliders was what I read off to you. I can't remember where it was, but I found it on the Facebook news. basically it said everybody's favorite unsustainable movie ticketing business is back. And I'm going, damn, we are pulling no punches with MoviePass this go round. It does sound like that this will actually have a little more manageable and probably more in line with what they did the first go around before Helios and Matheson Analytics got involved. In that, you know, you'll have to pricing tiers that you'll have to pay. So if you want X number of movies a month, I'm assuming, or if you want to earn movie tickets, you'll have to watch ads. If you watch the ads, obviously the ad revenue is going to MoviePass. Sounds like they're making a concerted effort to fix things. And then also being able to actually use it for people other than yourself, which I know a lot of people complained about. And it got really frustrating for us towards the end when people had, you know, a whole group of them that were coming in using MoviePass for one movie, as opposed to doing just one transaction to get it all knocked out.
I will say there was one group that used to be fairly regular in our building that it helped out. And it's a group of, it was a group of Indian guys.
Yes.
That they spoke kind of varying degrees of English. There was a couple of them that spoke like perfect English. And I think there was a couple that didn't speak at all. Mm-hmm. And so depending on who in the group was there that day, it's some days it went smoothly. Some days the language barrier could be difficult.
Yeah.
But I noticed when MoviePass became popular, they all got MoviePass and then they didn't actually have to talk to us. They could just come in and show us their phone, their ticket that they had gotten on MoviePass, and we could ring it up, and it worked pretty well.
Right.
But that was the only group. What bothered, I think, us is that when MoviePass didn't work and there towards the end, it didn't work a lot, they yelled at us and they didn't understand that we were not responsible for MoviePass. And also when it didn't work, they expected us to give them something free for the inconvenience. And they would get mad when we wouldn't. And they were like, well, but it's not working. I'm sorry, that's a third party company. Did not do anything wrong. We are not responsible for that. So we are not going to give you anything. And then they get pissed so I have to buy a ticket? Yes. That's like if your credit card gets declined and you expect us to give you a free movie because you don't have the money in your account. This is just a way for you to pay for your ticket and your payment option is not working. So we are not obligated to give you a free movie because your payment option, your choice of payment is not working. You're going to have to pay another way or you're going to have to leave. And they get mad at us. And we got screamed at so much over MoviePass.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there'd be like people that would sign their elderly parents up for MoviePass because they enjoyed movies, but said elderly parents didn't know how to work it.
Oh God. Yeah. That was,
the worst.
Yeah. Cause they could slow down an entire round just trying to help them get set up on the phone to do what they need to do and then run their card and then get all their other stuff.
Yeah. Cause said children would set them up with an account and then not teach them how to use it or set up the app for them.
Right.
And they would expect us to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a pain.
It was an absolute pain. So I'm not looking forward to the return, but it does sound like they are trying to do course correction that'll actually benefit users and hopefully the theater employees.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling about it.
Also, how many people are even willing to give MoviePass another chance?
There was a lot
of people that didn't get, that were basically cheated out of a bunch of money towards the end.
Right.
They couldn't get their account canceled, that they couldn't redeem their movies. They basically dumped money into this and then didn't get anything in return and were very upset and didn't get a refund. So
yeah, it sounds like, from what I'm reading, it sounds like that Stacy Spikes, the founder, was ousted the first go round, and so all of that he was not involved in. So the ones that did want MoviePass to return wanted it back in his hands. So I think that's part of it. I just, like I said, the headlines for it that I read just made me chuckle. That one about everybody's favorite unsustainable business model is back. Let's see.
Well, another layer to that too is, I know in response to MoviePass failing, I don't know if there's any other chains. I feel like AMC came up with their own kind of movie subscription service. I I feel like there was other chains at least talking about it. I don't know that if AMC is the only one I know off the top of my head that actually did do it.
Right.
At least that's in our market. I feel like there might be another chain that is not in our market that may have done it.
Yeah.
No, we didn't do it. But yeah, like there are certain chains that have kind of gotten into this anyway. And so I wonder how many people are going to get it versus, well, why do I need to get back to MoviePass? I'm a regular AMC customer and I already subscribed to AMC's version. Yeah. So why do I need MoviePass?
Yeah. So there's that headline. This one, in Hollywood, everything gets a reboot, even MoviePass.
Okay, that's funny.
That one was funny. There is one feature I do want to point out about this. If you're thinking about signing up for it, I mentioned earlier, if you want to earn credits to go watch movies, you'd have to watch ads, right? Cool. You probably do it with these pay-to-play video games on your phone where, you know, okay, I'll play the, you know, I'll watch the ad.
Run out of energy, you hear, watch an ad, and you can get 25 more energy, whatever.
Yeah, so something like that. Usually when you do that, you turn it on, you walk away, you come back, you clear out of it, and you go on about your business. MoviePass, the way it sounds, they're actually going to use your phone's camera to track your eyeballs to make sure that you actually watch the ad. Now that is where I'm going, I'm good.
I don't want y'all having access to my camera.
No, God, no, you don't need to see what I'm doing. So, I mean, you'll see the inside of my pocket more often than not, but still, like, I'm just sitting there going, that's one way to ensure that nobody's just sitting there ganging up, gathering up a bunch of credits to go watch movies. But on the other hand, I'm like, that's some 1984 kind of shit right there. And I'm not about that life. I mean, we're already living it, but like, I'm good. So yeah, I wanted to throw that out there as kind of my last, by the way, if you are seriously considering signing back up, I don't know if this
consider
is
this too.
But I think you need to know, like, don't just go into it blind. Like,
yeah.
So, I found that whole thing interesting. But I'm like, after all the issues we had with it, especially towards the end of it, I don't think it was that bad when it was still kind of niche. It was once those two companies got involved that it went, y'all are just running this shit into the ground. Anyway. All right. So, next bit of news. We got trailers that we got to talk about. You didn't watch one of them, so shame on you. But we did get the poster for it, so I'm going to talk about it really quick. We're getting a remake of Stephen King's Firestarter. So the original movie from the 80s with Drew Barrymore, same premise, little girl's able to start fires with her mind. Basically just a dark, dark superhero movie. This one's already rated R. It's coming from Universal and Blumhouse. We've got Zac Efron starring as the dad. I couldn't tell you who the rest of the cast is. The trailer actually looked fairly decent, but we got the poster in the other day. And that's what I really want to talk about. Because we're, again, Hollywood's fresh out of ideas, right? We're just remaking everything. Not that I care. It's at this point, Stephen King content. If you can remake it and make it better, I'm cool with it, right? Apparently you can't top the original Firestarter poster because the new one is the exact same as the original Firestarter. Like, you remember baby Drew Barrymore on the cover, just staring down the camera with flames all around her and her hair getting blown around and everything. Exact same poster, but with the new girl instead. And I'm just going, we couldn't do better than that, huh? Like,
be honest though, are you truly mad about it?
No, I'm not. I was sitting there going, that is honestly kind of hilarious. And at least they know, like, they know their place at this point. Like, they know we're not going to top that. We can't top that poster. We're just going to go with a new version of it. Made me laugh so hard. So what didn't make me laugh, though, is when I got to the end of the trailer and it announced that it's coming on May 13th, I think is the release date, and it's going day and date. Universal is still sticking with the, we'll throw it on Peacock and throw it in theaters at the same time. I wonder if their thought process is, at this point, is because they just did this with Marry Me, which opened this weekend. I wonder if their thought process at this point is, we don't have enough subscribers we might as well throw it on there and see if it just catches anybody on. Because let's be honest, you and I both have Peacock right now. And the only reason we have Peacock right now is because we want to watch curling when it's live or any of the other Olympic events, but mostly curling. Yes. So that's what I'm thinking. I'm just sitting there going, you're going to
legit only got it for curling. And once the Olympics were over, I've got to cancel it and use out the rest of my single month and call it good.
I will probably keep it for March, or actually no, I'll probably cancel it and then sign back up for it later on when the Joe and Carol show, the Joe Exotic Carol Baskins thing with Kate McKinnon comes out, because I do want to watch it, because that story just cracks me up, and I think Kate McKinnon's gonna just kill it as Carol Baskin. But yeah, because she looks like her, she just looks like her. She got the crazy eyes. So I'll cancel it and then I'll bring it back once that show has all of its episodes loaded up, and then I'll cancel it again. Because there's nothing on there I really want to watch. And I think we've talked about this. Like, there's so many streaming services. The only reason I have Paramount Plus right now is because I've got it for free through my cell phone provider.
That's the same.
Yeah. So I'm like, beyond that, I really don't need these services. So you don't have any of the stuff I want. But yeah,
I have Apple TV Plus also through my phone service.
Yep.
And that's, so. I mean, the only thing I've watched on there is Ted Lasso.
There's a couple things I'm going to watch on there, a couple movies that I'm going to check out. And then,
yeah, there's more stuff I mean to watch, but I just never get to.
Yeah. I'm basically just going to keep it for Ted Lasso at this point. So, but I'll have canceled it before or after that trial is up. So I'm looking at it, and that's the only reason I can figure is they've decided, we'll make it. Plus, it's Blumhouse. We know, we've talked about Blumhouse's budget. Yeah. It's always small. It's always sub 10 million, 15 million, something. Yeah, it's a small enough budget that you can drop it in theaters for a few weeks and make a buck or two off of it, make your money back.
Yeah.
So it probably for them makes sense to go ahead and throw it on Peacock just to try and draw subscribers to it. Not like Warner Brothers and HBO Max, where they were dropping every movie they had last year on there and it was not helping them at all. Like, it got the subscribers, but they had to have lost money on that deal, because there's no amount of subscriptions that's gonna account for what you could have gotten off ticket sales. We've talked about that ad nauseum on the show.
So
that was the one thing I got out of that trailer that I was just like, really? Okay. So Warner Brothers fortunately has said we're done with that business model. It's not working. As opposed to Disney, who's just like, well, we're just going to throw our Pixar stuff on Disney Plus apparently and just say fuck everything else. We didn't get to talk about that. Turning Red, the next Disney Pixar movie, is going straight to Disney Plus. And I swear to God, Trisha, if they send Lightyear over there, because that's the next trailer we're talking about, they send Lightyear to Disney Plus and not put it in theaters, I'm flying directly to LA to just slap a Disney executive.
I'm pretty sure if they send one more Pixar movie straight to Disney Plus, I'm pretty sure every person who works at Pixar is going to walk out.
As they should.
Every time they announce a new Pixar movie going straight to Disney Plus, I'm hearing more and more about Pixar employees getting viscerally angry.
Yeah.
Because they're working just as hard on these movies, because Disney keeps putting the stuff with Disney's name on in theaters and then sending Pixar to Disney Plus.
Right.
And the people, the animators at Pixar are working just as hard as the animators that work for Disney, yet their product is not getting seen in the way they want it to.
Right.
Versus Disney.
Yeah. Which is stunning to me, because Pixar's not responsible for Disney's renaissance in the 90s. Disney can claim that all they want. But Pixar did usher in a new era of animation with Toy Story in 1995.
Yeah.
And since then has only had one movie that was a critical flop, and that was Cars 2, and it still made buku bank. And only one movie that was a commercial flop, and that was The Good Dinosaur. Everything else has made them money at the box office.
Yes.
And we have seen that there is a hunger for kids' movies at the box office.
Yeah.
Sting 2. We still have Sting 2. And that movie came out at Christmas. It's fucking almost Valentine's Day. Like,
and you can't tell me that it's a worry about COVID or the box office, blah, 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 because they released Encanto in theaters.
Yeah.
And then they turn around and send all the Pixar movies
to
Disney Plus. Like, you're not being consistent enough to try to claim COVID. So you're purposely sending Sol and Luca and now Attorney Red to Disney Plus while still releasing Disney titles in theaters.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
My question at this point, because we didn't have a Pixar title scheduled for the holiday season this year. So it was just Encanto. Encanto did underperform. I will say that. So it underperformed. Yeah. I also didn't see a whole lot of marketing for it.
No.
You want to know the best marketing I've seen for that movie since it's come out? Fucking TikTok.
Yes.
We don't talk about Bruno is everywhere on that goddamn app right now. I can't get away from it at all. It's everywhere. And they did not market that movie right or something. No. Like they didn't market it in the correct spots or whatever. They did not. Disney fucked up somewhere. And I think Disney is looking at Encanto's box office numbers and maybe even Raya and the Last Dragons, because I don't feel like that one was marketed all that great either, but it also had the day and date release going on too.
Because everyone who went and saw Raya, myself included, absolutely loved it.
Yeah, it was.
But there was a lot of people that were like, wait, that's out? I didn't know that was out. What is this?
Yeah. Encanto? Like,
fucked up, Disney.
Encanto, everybody's been watching it on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if maybe they're going, okay, maybe we just need to release just all the animated stuff on Disney Plus at this point. Now, granted, they started doing this with the Pixar stuff, starting with Soul and all that.
Luca,
over the last couple of years. So it's not like this is a new thing, but it does feel like absolute horseshit when, you know, you haven't pushed any of the other Disney animated releases for this year to Disney Plus. You're only doing it with Pixar. And that's why I said, I swear to God, if they send Pixar or send Lightyear to Disney Plus, I'm going to be upset, because the trailer for this movie, the new trailer, looks fantastic. There's not enough good animated sci-fi out there, at least getting to the big screen. And Pixar is the one company I would trust to do anything, especially with Buzz Lightyear. Like, I mean, it's their character. So to actually do, as they put it, the movie that inspires the toy in Toy Story, I'm all in for. Like,
I will say, I would be surprised if they sent it to Disney Plus only because Chris Evans.
Yeah.
I think they would be afraid that if they send it straight to Disney Plus, that Chris Evans, especially on the back of Scarlett Johansson's lawsuit.
Yeah.
I think they worry that if they send it to Disney Plus, imagine if Chris Evans decides he's unhappy with that decision.
Yeah.
Like Scarlett Johansson, there's enough people that don't like her that people are like, maybe she's just being greedy, blah, blah, blah. If Chris Evans sues Disney, I can't think of a single person that would not support Chris Evans in that.
Right. And that's the thing.
And they know that. There's no way they don't know that.
No. I was going to say, Disney tried to smear ScarJo in that lawsuit last year. And so if you try to do that with Chris Evans, like,
it won't work.
It won't. That's America's ass. You can't touch that ass. Like,
even people that aren't Captain America fans admit that you can't say a bad thing about Chris Evans.
Right.
You can't.
There will be an entire army of fangirls going, come on, girls, let's put on our cable knit sweaters and just go find these fuckers. Like, that's what will happen. So, true. You know, yeah.
And I'm not saying this as a Chris Evans fan, even though I am. I'm saying this as someone who spends enough time on the internet to know how beloved that man is.
Yes. Yeah, he is.
He's one of a handful of people that, you know, that everybody trusts to not do anything wrong,
right?
Seriously wrong. And there's not very many of those people.
Yeah. So, but let's talk about the trailer. You did watch the trailer, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure. So so we actually get to hear Chris Evans talk as Buzz Lightyear. So, and it sounds like Chris Evans, so there's nothing fancy there. We get to hear a little bit of To Infinity and Beyond. We also get introduced to his new AI compatriot, who is going to be the hottest selling toy of holiday 2022.
I'm
writing it down now. Socks the cat. I was rolling with that. There's a bit towards the end of that trailer where Buzz is trying to go to sleep And so the cat offers to, you know, like whale noises, white noise, like, you know, music.
I can play sleep sounds. What would you like?
Like just white noise. And then the cat just sits there, kicks open its mouth. I'm just losing my shit. Everything before that, though, just all of the sci-fi action, the humor with whatever tentacled creature is grabbing people at the base on Mars, just this whole thing just looks amazing. And it looks to me like it's paying tribute to those big sci-fi blockbusters of yesteryear. Yeah. Obviously you got Star Wars, you can throw in there, and Star Trek. I got little hints of like Independence Day in there, like just those big sci-fi movies. And that's what Pixar is really good about, is when they do those little homages by making it, but take it and make it its own thing. Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking when I was watching the trailer, and I'm just sitting there going,
yeah,
5, 10, 12 year, hell, 30, 33 year old me is excited for this movie. Like let's get this going. And this is the one that I'm going. You can do a lot of animated movies and send them straight to wherever, and I'd probably be okay with it. This is one that I'm looking at it. I'm like, it's Pixar. 1, 2. This looks absolutely stunning when you look at the visual work in there.
Yeah,
and you go, yeah, I want to see what they do with Buzz and all this great expanse on the big screen.
Yes.
Then I think back to WALL-E when WALL-E came out in 2008. That movie is absolutely gorgeous, especially the moments where WALL-E's going through space and, you know, he runs his little robot hand through the stars, you know, the dust and the rings or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm like, there's so much that they can do. And I can't imagine having seen that for the first time on video.
No.
And this is how I'm going to feel about Lightyear.
Yeah, I agree.
What did you think watching the trailer, though?
They sold me. Like, when they first announced that they were doing this, I was like, why? Why do we need that? We don't need that. Can we have something new? Like, this is dumb. I can admit I was wrong. it looks like so much fun.
Yeah.
And like you said, it deserves to be on the big screen, not on a dinky little TV screen.
Yeah.
And don't come at me with, well, my setup at home. I don't care about your setup at home.
No.
I don't. It's not the same.
No.
No matter how much you try to claim it's the same, it's not the same.
No.
And this deserves to be on the big screen.
Yeah. So I think the other factor here in keeping this off of Disney Plus right away, brand recognition. I hate saying it. It's existing IP. That's what's going to keep it in theaters. So, but yeah.
Toy Story is well-loved enough that it will draw people out.
Yeah.
And they know it.
Yeah. So, So there's Lightyear. That's probably one of my most anticipated movies for this year. We're going to have to actually start putting together that list. I can tell you Batman's probably towards the top of my mind too, because that just looks amazing.
I don't know if I told you the story. Megan and I, speaking of the Batman, Megan and I were sitting at the bar one night waiting for movies to drop. And I think it was the same night the kid mouthed off at me. And one of the theaters behind us got out. And then we hear this group walking down. I kind of glanced back, saw they were leaving, whatever. And then I hear they're pointing out posters as they walk down the hallway and like talking to each other about the movies. And so I hear the one kid turn to the other and go, point out the Batman poster. And, oh yeah, that's nice, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, well, you know who's playing the Batman in this one, right? And the kid's like, no. And he goes, the dude from Twilight. And then the kid goes, no, why? And then they just bitch about it the whole way back. And I'm like, where have y'all been?
Right?
Hey, this isn't new information. We have known this for a while. There are trailers out. B, the internet had its bitch fist fit about this. And C, as soon as that first trailer dropped, the internet stopped bitching about it, went, okay, we might have been wrong here. Maybe he can do this. Sure. Y'all are like 6 months behind.
Fuck, a full year behind.
Where have you been?
I just want to point out, Bitch Fist would definitely be the name of an all-girl punk rock band, and it would be badass.
That's anyway, great.
Actually, I've talked to my mom about, because she, you know, I tell her what's going on at work and how, you know, right now we're not super busy because there's not a whole lot of big content coming out right now.
It's that time of the year that we're not busy.
Exactly.
Period.
And I said, you know, we're honestly, I said, we'll probably get a little business from Jackass Forever. And she goes, oh boy. Like, you know,
Valentine's Day always brings us some business.
Valentine's Day. Yeah. Especially with a rom-com out. And then we've got Uncharted next week, which should do well enough, you know, the video will come out for it, which I need to get with Midwest Meltdown. Cause we're gonna have to talk about it, or at least I will. So, yeah, I did say we're probably not going to get busy until March when the Batman comes out. And she goes, oh yeah. She goes, that's they've got, what's his name from Twilight? I'm like, yeah, they've got him. I said, I wasn't excited about that, but I've seen him in other stuff, Mom. And I said, first off, let me tell you, nobody hates Twilight more than Robert Pattinson hates Twilight one. And she goes, well, that's definitely fair. She goes, yeah, if I had to be caught up in that, I'd probably hate it too. I'm like, yeah. I said, he's done enough other work that I've seen him in that I'm like, I'm actually genuinely excited to see his take on.
He's a genuinely good actor.
He is.
And the fact that it's just that dude from Twilight kills me every time. Like this, I'm hoping that this is the movie that finally makes people realize he is much better than he gets credit for.
Yeah.
The problem is he does a lot of smaller, kind of more indie things generally. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of actors, they'll come out for, you know, something big to get a paycheck and then kind of go back to the small stuff they want to do. But like, I was hoping that maybe when Tenet came out, that people would start to realize that, you know, he's more than just Edward Cullen.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't do well enough to justify that response, sadly, even though I still say he was fantastic in that too.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping now, I mean, unfortunately that came out at a time when a lot of people still weren't coming to the box office, and it's still one of those movies that are very kind of divisive, whether you like it or don't understand it. But I'm really hoping that this is the movie that people finally stop referring to him as that dude from Twilight.
Yeah.
And finally he can start earning some of the respect that he gets. I think part of the problem too is that he's just a weird dude. He fully admits that he used to always lie in interviews just because he didn't care. And he's quirky. He's quiet. He wants to be left alone. He's just an oddball in Hollywood. So I think a lot of people just don't know what to do with him. Mm-hmm. And so they just kind of ignore him.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, dude's a phenomenal actor and he does not get enough credit. So I'm hoping this is the movie that people will finally start to realize that.
Yeah.
And again, no one hates Twilight as much as Robert Pattinson.
No. But so going back to this, so my mom goes, yeah, she goes, he'll probably do all right then. You know, she acknowledges, like, yeah, it's not the only thing he's been in. If that's what he's most known for, he's probably going to hate it. I'm like, well, yeah, Harrison Ford hates being known as Han Solo, but, you know, that's what he's known for, that and Indiana Jones. But
that's why I hated when Jamie Dornan got cast in 50 Shades of Grey, because I was like, no, that's going to follow you forever. And you're so much better than that.
Yeah, but now he's in an Academy Award nominated film, and we'll get to that in a little bit.
That, like, no one saw, sadly.
Sadly. But hey, maybe they will after this year. But that wound up leading to this whole conversation with my mom about how, oh yeah, by the way, with the Batman coming out, we've also got a Flash movie coming out. And I said, Michael Keaton's coming back as Batman for it. And she goes, wait, what? I go, yeah. I was like, I'm so excited. And she goes, well, how does that work? So I had to explain multiverse to my mom. And she's like, okay. And I'm sure she's sitting there going, what the fuck are you babbling on about, Kyle? But like, whatever. I was excited. So she just lets me go with it. And I'm just like, don't care that you don't understand. You just need to know Michael Keaton is back under the cowl, and the Batmobile, the best Batmobile, is back. Like, all you need to know. So I said, and he won't be back for just that movie either. Like, I'm just geeking out over it with her. Anyway, but yeah, I can't wait for the Batman. Like, yeah. I can't wait for us to actually get to screen it. I don't care that it's got 3-hour runtime. So, we're watching it as soon as we get
it. I know. I'm not disagreeing. It's just,
yeah, we're just not
putting so many late nights because of that movie.
Yeah, just no trailers. So. So, all right. So last trailer, and then we'll move on to the rest of our movie news. Jurassic World Dominion coming out June 10th. This is our first like full batch of footage for it. This is actually the Super Bowl trailer that they're going to show during the game on Sunday, which by the time this episode posts, it'll already be Monday. So congratulations to whoever won. We don't care anymore. But Jurassic World Dominion, the trailer for me showed me what I've been wanting to see from the Jurassic Park, Jurassic World universe for 25 years, and that is dinosaurs out in the wild. Like, I say in the wild, I mean out in the world. Yeah. We got a little bit of that in The Lost World when the T-Rex gets loose in San Diego, and we never got it back. Now we've got it back. To me, this trailer does look like, you pointed out to me that you felt like it showed a lot of the best parts of the movie, or the biggest parts.
Yeah, I get that vibe from it.
Yeah, and that's fine. I feel like at this point they have to show a lot of the, at least snippets of the big sequences, trying to win people back from the last movie, because the last one was pretty divisive, and I enjoyed it, but I wasn't like super impressed with it. It posed more questions that I want answered, and I'm hoping that we'll still get that. But it very much felt like a lesser tier middle chapter in this trilogy. So, of course, everybody's going on. We've got the original trio of Sam Neill, Laura Dern, and Jeff Goldblum back together with the new crew. So we're all excited for that. So all the nostalgia is coming back. Jeff Goldblum does get the best line of the trailer, which is, "It's bigger. Why do they keep making them bigger?" Because
he's right,
absolutely. But yeah, I'm sitting there watching it. So I can't remember whose TikTok video it was that I was watching, but basically they went through the trailer and they said, "My God, this looks like they first off point out, well, Chris Pratt traded riding a motorcycle with dinosaurs to riding horses with dinosaurs to, oh my God, this looks like James Bond or Mission Impossible with dinosaurs." Like, and
I'm wrong.
Not like I'm in. Like the action in this trailer alone has me excited. Like I no longer care about the plot. Just give me dinosaurs and shit happening. Like,
please tell me that's another plane. Nope.
So good. So yeah. So outside of feeling like you were getting shown all the best parts of the movie, you did say you were in for it.
Yeah. It's a Jurassic Park movie. Of course I'm going to be in.
Yeah, you know what to expect. Dinosaurs wreaking havoc, tearing shit up, eating people. They really love that mosasaur coming up out of the water and just chomping down on shit. I'm like, yeah. Why,
it's a great shot. No matter how many times you see it, it's a great shot.
Mm-hmm. Even if they did kill the one girl in the most horrific way possible in Jurassic World, you know, using it.
Yeah.
Still cool. Fucking brutal, but it was cool. So yeah, this trailer is, and it hits all these emotional and nostalgic moments, mm-hmm. like the little boy looking at the T-Rex in the drive-in, at the drive-in movie, which yeah. they've released that clip already. That clip's out online, so you actually get to see that whole sequence. But yeah, I'm sitting there watching it going, man, this is why I go to the movies, is to see fun shit like this. So, you know what I don't go to the movies for?
What?
Academy Award nominees. Which is what we're going to talk about next. You and I had a whole conversation the other day. Yep. And I'm curious, and I'm going to post a poll on our Twitter feed, and we'll get our answer next week. But I want to know, out of the 10 nominees, how many have you guys actually seen, like, or are interested in going to the movies to see? Because I'm looking at this, I think the first thing I said,
hold on, I didn't count when I looked at it before.
Yeah. I know for sure I've seen two.
I have seen two of them. There is a third one I've been meaning to watch, and I probably will.
Yeah, I was gonna say fairly soon. I'm gonna watch all of them at some point, or try to. But yeah, so let's just go through this. Just the best picture nominees. We're not even getting into the other stuff. But yeah. Trish and I had this conversation, and I'm going to share our thoughts, and I want to hear from you guys on our Twitter feed about what you guys think needs to be done.
I also want to point out one of the ones that both of us saw that we're counting on this list. I'm pretty sure was a limited release that we happened to get, and I don't think a lot of theaters in our area did show it. So, and we didn't have it very long.
Yeah. So, all right, so let's just run through the list. Best Picture nominees: Belfast, which is one of the ones that we saw,
which is the one I was just talking about.
Mm-hmm. That has Jamie Dornan in it. Katrina Balfe. Yeah.
Balfe.
Kieran Hines and Judi Dench are all in it. Kenneth Branagh directs.
David Tennant's daughter.
Yes, David Tennant's daughter. It is, and it's basically, it's a semi-autobiographical story. It's Kenneth Branagh's story, essentially, mm-hmm. of growing up
in Belfast during the Troubles.
Yeah.
The I think the beginnings-ish of the Troubles.
In the late 60s.
It's the late 60s.
Yeah. It's all black and white. It's a beautiful film. I do want
to
say
it's all black and white, except when they go to like the movies or the theater.
Yes.
Anytime they're like in the audience watching any sort of entertainment, said mm-hmm. entertainment is in color, which I thought was a really kind of cool touch.
Yeah. So that's up. We've got Coda, which I think is an Apple TV Plus release. We were trying to figure that out too.
I've heard a lot about, but I haven't seen.
I was going to say, I don't think I've seen any footage for it, but I know the cast is predominantly deaf.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to find a nicer word for it, but there isn't one, I don't think.
No,
so.
Deaf.
Deaf. So
That's the word they use.
I'd say I'm trying to be sensitive to our hard of hearing listeners, but...
Well, deaf and hard of hearing are two different things.
I know. So.
But that at least when I took intro to ASL and deaf culture, that's what I was taught, is those are the actual words they use.
So... So most of the cast is deaf. So I think a lot of the movie is in American Sign Language, which I think is kind of neat. And I'd heard a few things. I hadn't heard a whole lot. You've got Don't Look Up, which I'll get to in a minute. That's the environmental satire with Leonardo DiCaprio, Jonah Hill, and Jennifer Lawrence. It's on Netflix. You've got Drive My Car, which is a Japanese film. Yeah, Japanese film. My
to be honest, I hadn't heard of it before the nominees came out.
To me, reading the synopsis of it sounded kind of like a Driving Miss Daisy's type of situation, so I was immediately lost interest, even though I'm interested in international film. And as we learned from Parasite, don't ever count out an international film. Right. Of course, Dune, which I don't know, did we talk about that on this show? I feel like we may have read the book. I don't remember. There's been so
probably much. A lot of listeners that don't, because they skipped that part.
Probably. So, So Dune, and then you have King Richard. Dune and King Richard both went day and date. So those were both on HBO Max at the same time they were in theaters, which King Richard, I think, did well enough, mm-hmm. at least for a certain.
At least for our theater, it did pretty well.
Yeah. So, and of course, Dune did very well under the circumstances mm-hmm. to get greenlit for part two. So, Licorice Pizza, which was another limited release that we did not get.
Still out though.
It is. So
I think, and I think it's still increasing its reach, especially now that the Oscar nominations have come out, but we have still not gotten it. So I'm not holding out hope at this point.
I'm not either. But stranger things have happened. And that one's about a 20-something year old woman basically befriending and falling in love with a 16, 17 year old boy. I can't remember how old he is. I don't know. I felt kind of icky reading it. Even though it's a trope that we see a little too frequently, if you ask me, and like, I know everybody's probably sitting there going, well, you know, yeah, it's weird, but you know, we're talking about this in such high regard, but I guarantee if it was genders flipped with the ages, we wouldn't be so glowing about it. Which apparently is what Red Rocket is about. We got the poster for that, and I'm really glad we didn't put that poster up because of the plot, like, just based on that. So there's a little more to it than that, but even still, it's icky. It's just, even though I hear the movie's really, or Licorice Pizza is really good. So
I know we had the Licorice Pizza poster up, and I'm just surprised no one got mad at us over it.
Yes.
Yeah. I believe it was rather nippy in the theater, in the room where they took the picture.
Yes, Alana Haim was definitely not wearing a bra. But it's also the 70s.
We've had parents yell at us for less on posters. So
true. So all right. So there's Licorice Pizza. Then Nightmare Alley, which is Guillermo del Toro's latest.
That's the one that I probably will be watching soon.
This is one of two remakes on the list, by the way. So it's a remake of the 1930s or 40s film noir. It's got Bradley Cooper, Kate Blanchett, Willem Dafoe is in it, as is my boy Ron Perlman. That's the one I really want to watch. The Power of the Dog with Benedict Cumberbatch, that one's on Netflix. Nightmare in Alley, by the way, Nightmare Alley you can find on HBO Max and Hulu now. It did not do well in theaters. especially considering what it was released up against. And then finally, the other remake on this story, Steven Spielberg's West Side Story, which also tanked at the box office, but apparently will be on Disney Plus starting March 2nd, as they are already advertising it being on there. And you're just shaking your head like, what? I know why. I know why you're shaking your head. Like, we don't need West Side Story. So, but yeah. But that raises the question. So like I said, we work in a movie theater. We've seen two of these movies. We could have seen four of these movies in theaters.
Right. We could have seen more, but sometimes life gets in the way. Life or there's too many things that are released too close together and we just can't arrange that many days to screen.
I will say
Belfast I pushed really hard to watch.
Yes.
I know you were willing.
Yeah.
But I feel like I was the one that was like, we have to watch this. I want to watch this. I'm going to watch this.
Yeah. So yeah. And like of this list, the only one I absolutely needed to watch in theaters, I would say Nightmare Alley was the other one I definitely wanted to watch in theaters, but you know, children come along and fuck all that up for you. So it's hard to stay late at night. Is Dune. Dune is the only one I said we have to watch as soon as we get it, because we've put all this time into reading the book, all that. Yeah. We've been excited about this movie for well over a year. Got to watch it in theaters.
Yeah.
So looking at this, there are if I include Dune and King Richard, there's five movies on here that at the very least had a day and date streaming release, if not just straight to streaming. So that's five movies that are on streaming services and didn't get in theaters, that they had to have had a limited release.
Yeah.
And that's, out of this, we have eight movies that we didn't even see, that nobody has really seen, that we know of. So that begs the question. Every year we talk about the Oscars and how nobody's watching them. Nobody is watching as I'm now calling it, the Hollywood circle jerk, patting ourselves on the back for making high-end art.
Yeah, viewership goes down every single year.
Yes.
And they're always like, well, what can we do to get people to watch the Oscars? What can we do to get viewers back? Stop nominating movies no one has seen.
Yeah.
We're not stop, but stop making that be the vast majority of the movies you're nominating. Movies that either people haven't seen or didn't have the opportunity to see. Well, it was released in one theater in New York. How do you expect us in Kansas City to watch it?
Yeah. So that's what really bothers me about the Dune nomination. Don't get me wrong. I am happy it's nominated. I think it's absolutely deserving of its nomination. It's the only major blockbuster on the list, though. And there were several this year that were good enough to be included on the list, I think.
Spider-Man No Way Home is closing in on the box office record, the domestic box office record.
And it's one of the highest rated Marvel movies critically. Everybody enjoyed it. Everybody loved
it. And it got nothing.
Technical awards. That's it. No Time to Die has probably Daniel Craig's best performance as James Bond. He's not even in consideration for best actor. And it had some of the best cinematography work of the series, not even in consideration for cinematography. It's got visual effects, which is a stacked category all its own between It, Dune, Shang-Chi, Spider-Man, and Free Guy. It's not going to win. It's in the category for best sound. It's probably not going to win there. And the only other nomination it's got is Best Song. And let's be honest, No Time to Die is a good song. Dos Oruguitas from Encanto is a beautiful song that plays into the narrative of the film incredibly well.
Yes.
That's my front runner, if you ask me.
In both Spanish and English.
Yes. Spider-Man No Way Home. You got stronger... Okay, hold on. The fact that Willem Dafoe has not gotten a nomination in the last couple of years, either for The Lighthouse or for playing Green Goblin again.
Yeah.
Like two very different parts that he's playing. Dude's one of the best of his generation. Does not have an Academy Award, or at least I don't think he's got an Academy Award. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but
doesn't have a nomination in the last couple of years for those movies.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's no, and so, yeah, so I'm like looking through the rest of the nominees, and I'm not sitting here saying what only blockbuster movies should be nominated, because that's not the case. There are some very deserving smaller films that Belfast is fucking exhibit A in this conversation. That movie is very deserving of being in the conversation. And it's got plenty of a street cred on this one.
Willem Dafoe has been nominated for 4 Academy Awards. He has won 0.
See? He should have one for Green Goblin. Like, let's be real. He should have had one for Lighthouse, honestly.
He doesn't have any Academy Awards, BAFTAs, Golden Globes, or Screen Actors Guilds.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Willem Dafoe doesn't have anything? Whatever. Mm. He's still a badass in my eyes.
Right.
So, anyway. So, yeah. So, here, Trisha, is what I am proposing. Is that, first off, we don't even have an Academy Award for stunt work. Stunt performers need something.
Agreed.
They don't have any awards except for their own little guild, if even that.
Yeah.
But they have no recognition from the rest of the industry, from, you know, the press, any of that. Mad Max Fury Road would have swept, because that was almost all practical effects, all stunt work. Yeah. Like, and that movie was an inspiration. Dune this year has some great stunt work in it, but a lot of good practical effects. But, you know, I'm sitting there looking at it and looking at its Best Picture nomination, and I'm going, I'm glad you're there. You feel like you're the obligatory big name nomination, because they know that that's one for them. They're going, well, it's artsy enough that we can include it, and two, it's big enough box office wise that we can include it and get
feels the like they're throwing a bone to the average moviegoer.
Right
here, we nominated Dune. Go away, leave us alone, stop criticizing us.
Like, and I'm just going, that's not fair. No. So my proposal at this point, we're going to have to, because everybody's been trying to figure out how to cut the Academy Awards show down time-wise. I absolutely agree. It needs to happen. But here's the other thing that needs to happen. We need to figure out a way to get genre films more included into the Academy Awards every year, because they are absolutely deserving. Now, we've had some breakthroughs where Get Out, Black Panther, Dune, Mad Max, those movies have made it in, and Get Out even won for Best Original Screenplay, which is great. It's unheard of for a horror movie, but we need to do something to get a little more recognition for the movies that people actually go and see. And so what I propose is we do all the technical awards, the cinematography, the visual effects, we do all that. We go ahead and just do that the night before, off camera, like, and then we can air the winners, you know, speeches in snippets throughout the rest of the award show.
Yeah.
Sunday, when the actual big show happens, we need best actor, best actress, supporting actor, supporting actress, best picture. We need those five. We need them divided into two different fronts. Kind of like the Golden Globe does, okay? Where they do best of in drama, and then best musical or comedy. I propose we make it best in art house, which are these smaller films that nobody gets to go see, the Codas and the Don't Look Ups and all that, and then blockbuster, and that would be the Spider-Man, the Dune, the No Time to Die. That would be these other big movies, and we basically just get the best of each ones. Yes, we're going to have more time to do speeches and all that, but the show is already going to run long anyway. I've already shortened it by a good amount. I think we can squeeze this all in 3 hours. I think that's the only way to do it, so that, one, you can actually get these bigger movies to get the recognition that they deserve, and also keep the old white men over here happy about the fancy dramas that they want in there every year.
That was my thing, that I think we need more diversity in who is picking these, instead of just, and I'm talking about age, I'm talking about gender, I'm talking about race, like
everything,
all across the board, everything, because like you said, we got a bunch of old white men making these decisions that seem to think art house is the only respectable type of movie and everything else is just whatever. It's kind of a let them eat cake sort of situation. Like, I don't care if it made a bunch of money. It's not high art, so it's not worth our time. And that's bullshit, because if you're trying to get the general audience to watch the award show, you need to nominate movies that these people have seen. Who wants to watch the Oscars when they're talking about a bunch of movies you haven't seen?
Right.
Why would I care?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, so that's my big solution, though. I don't know if you have an alternative solution to all this. That's the one that makes the most sense to me. Because like I said, there's no reason that Tom Holland or Willem Dafoe or, you know, Timothée Chalamet, the boy.
Timothy. Look, yeah. When he introduces himself in English, he says Timothy. Just call him Timothy.
Yeah. There's no reason that they shouldn't have nods for these big budget movies that they're in. There's no reason for it, you know. Just because they were in a genre picture.
Yeah.
You know. And so that's what drives me up a wall. There are some fantastic performances in these movies that are happening that are getting left completely out in the cold.
Yeah, they're getting completely overlooked because it's not high art.
Right. And then if you want to do an overall best of the best picture category, you combine all, you know, however many movies from each side, and then you can pick your art house film for that and call it a day, and I won't even complain. I'll go, yeah, but this was the best movie I actually saw, so I'm happy with it. So that's what I think they need to do.
So, or even just have like a wide release versus limited release category.
Yeah, something to that effect. So, like,
okay, if it was released in X amount of theaters, it's a, you know, whatever. I don't know how many screens there are, but in total across the country, however you want to do it, just pick, you know, kind of a median number and say if it was released in less than this number of theaters, it's in the limited release category. If it was released in more than this number of theaters, it's the wide release category. And then, like you said, do a best of at the end.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so that was our big topic for this week. We do have two other things I want to get out on, but we're not going to get too in depth with. First off, Scream 6 is officially on. We are excited. Woo! We're happy. I am sure now everybody's going to be clamoring for Stu Mocker, Matthew Lillard's character, to be brought back from the dead in some way, shape, or form. I don't know if I want that, but whatever.
I don't want him back from the dead. I just want them to give Matthew Lillard a random cameo.
Yes.
One of my friends that I used to work with said that she was wanting it to be kind of like in the first one, the janitor cameo, that he would just be just this random dude.
Right.
In the background. Just as a little nod to all the fans.
Yes.
And that would make me immensely happy.
Yeah.
I don't need him coming back from the dead, because I don't care what everyone keeps fighting. Dude was bleeding to death and then had a TV, a 90s big box TV dropped on his head. He's dead.
Yep. So
stop saying he's not. He's dead.
Yes. That movie goes into production this summer for a 2023 release. I would imagine it'll probably be done in time to actually be released right around January. So if we're getting the Scream sequel just about a year from this last one, it's going to take me right back to 1996, 97, when Scream and Scream 2 came out, you know, less than a year apart. So
yeah.
I'm down. Like, let's do it. The other one, and this is a little bigger news because it does tie to the MCU. Daredevil, Iron Fist, The Punisher, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage. The five Marvel Defenders shows on Netflix, all Netflix originals, are leaving Netflix at the end of this month. I've already looked and seen, 228, that's the last day you can watch them on Netflix. Nobody knows where they're going. Nobody knows. We know where they're going. Disney's got them. They're not going to send them to Disney Plus. That was the first thought. You thought maybe Daredevil. I'm sitting there on Daredevil's still a little too.
Yeah, I forget that they still have control over Hulu. So
yes, so
it's going to a Disney owned streaming service.
Yes, so it's going to Hulu. I guarantee it. Like, we're just waiting for the confirmation. I am actually excited about this because it means that they'll obviously if you haven't seen Spider-Man yet, who are you? Charlie Cox makes a cameo. That's all you need to know. And he is there as Matt Murdock. So
it's still amazing to me. I've seen a few, like, there's Marvel TikTokers that I don't follow but pop up on my For You page a lot. And I've seen a handful of them that didn't watch Daredevil until after he appeared in No Way Home. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Why have you not watched Daredevil? Like, how can you sit here and make MCU content and not have watched Daredevil?
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's safe to say everything's going over to Hulu. Now, if something changes, I stand corrected. But what makes me happy about this, like
the only thing that makes me think possibly still Disney Plus is that that's where all the Marvel content is, and they may want to keep it together.
It could be, could be.
But like you said, it is pretty violent. They got away with a lot compared to the rest of the Marvel content. So
right. So I don't know. But what makes me happy about that is that obviously we know they're keeping Charlie Cox around as Matt Murdock for Daredevil. They've got Wilson Fisk. They got Vincent D'Onofrio back as Wilson Fisk and Hawkeye, which means they're probably going to utilize him outside of that as well. There's no reason at this point, if you're keeping those shows, taking them over to a different streaming network, that you're not setting up to bring back Jessica Jones, Kristen Ritter. You have no excuse not to bring her back. It means you have no excuse not to bring back. I can't remember his name. But he played Luke Cage. Why can I not? Oh, son of a bitch.
I can see his face.
And John Bernthal as the Punisher. Mm-hmm. And then I can't remember the guy that plays Iron Fist. That tells you everything about Iron Fist. So we can do away with Iron Fist. It's fine.
No one liked him. So he's a nice guy, but no one liked
Mike Iron Coulter. Fist. That's it. Mike Coulter. Mm-hmm. You can bring him. I actually really liked him as Luke Cage. So
yes. Yeah, I was talking about Iron Fist.
Yes. Iron Fist, you can.
That's what I was saying. I'm sure he's a nice enough guy, but the fans didn't really like Iron Fist, so he can.
You can reboot. We can do a variant of Danny Rand and Iron Fist, and it'll be okay. Also means you can find ways to bring David Tennant into the MCU, and if you can get Doctor Who into the fucking MCU, you're doing things right. So. Anyway, but that's going to do it for us this week on My Drunk Movie Theater. Make sure you guys follow us at @drunk_theater on Twitter. Make sure you go to mydrunkmovietheater.store. We've got all our merch on there. You can buy some sweet, sweet t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, hoodies, pint glasses, all that good stuff with our fancy little logo on there, and support us because I've got to pay for diapers and those fuckers aren't cheap. Anyway, but that's going to do it from all of us here at My Drunk Movie Theater. I'm Kyle Sutton.
I'm Trisha Campbell.
And be nice to your damn movie staff.